This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, a conversation about race in America with Associated Press reporter Jesse Holland. But first, we've been hearing more and more about fake news. With today's digital media, where virtually anyone can post a story online with no oversight, it's often hard to figure out what's real and what's fake. Joining us to talk about how you tell the difference between real and fake news and the standards news organizations set to make sure stories are accurately reported are Anthony Shoemaker, news editor for the Dayton Daily News, News Center 7, and WHIO Radio, WCPO.com local government and politics reporter, and Cincinnati Society of Professional Journalists President Tom McKee, and WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, Anthony, and Howard, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here.
You're welcome.
You know, Tom, fake news is a term that gets tossed around a lot these days, and I'm wondering, what is the definition of fake news? How do you tell people what is fake news?
Well, I would think fake news is something that's purposely created and reported to create an impression that doesn't exist. In other words, you know something isn't true, but you put it out there anyway for whatever reason, whether it's monetary, whether it's political, whether it's revenge. You put it out there anyway and sell it, continually sell it as the real thing. And if you repeat it time and time and time again, guess what? Some people, believe it or not, will believe that that's the truth.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you can repeat this over and over and over again, particularly on the social media, when something like this pops up and it gets shared thousands and thousands of times, and you can have up millions of people see this thing, and it's totally false, it's totally untrue, it's based on nothing factual, but people will tend to believe it, and they will keep sharing it, and it just spreads like wildfire.
And the other thing that's dangerous about it is they make it look like
right.
real news.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at your Facebook or Twitter feed, the news all looks the same.
You know, the one thing you can do, I mean, if you're looking at Facebook and you see something like this pop up in some kind of meme or something like that, my advice to people is open it up, look at this website. It's usually pretty easy to determine whether or not this is a fake website, a fake news website, or a satirical website. Or just, somebody who's sitting around has nothing better to do than make things up. And you can figure that out.
Well, and there's some ways you can tell ahead of time, too. I mean, a lot of these fake news sites are using like a legit news organization's name. For instance, there's an abcnews.com.co that's
right.
out there. There's a bloomberg.ma. There is a WashingtonPost.com.co, but those unusual endings on
right.
that are kind
if
of
you see that,
kind of a red flag to be careful when you're on those sites.
Beware.
Am I right about that, Tom?
Well, there's no flag to see when somebody's tweeting, though. There's no flag
right.
to say
right.
it's true or not.
Sure, that's right.
People can put that out there. It takes its own life, and there's no red flag to go through. It's like a green light to, continue on and make something into a story, at least a perceived story that doesn't really exist. That's what we're seeing a lot right now. People put something out there, fake news, alternate news. The crowd wasn't as big as President Obama's. The wiretapping, or then you start arguing over whether he said it was wiretapping or not, and what's the definition of the word if. It goes back to the Bill Clinton days. It all depends on what the definition of is in that Monica mm-hmm. Lewinsky situation. The truth is somewhere between, if you hold your hands about 2 feet apart, the truth is somewhere in the middle. And it's up to us
yes,
as journalists
that's
to take
right.
a look at the left side, take a look at the right side, and find out what is the truth and report that to our audience. I can't imagine anybody would think for one minute that, number one, we are the enemy of the people, as has been proclaimed. Number two, that we would purposely alter facts or purposely alter a story to suit a political whim. We present facts and let people make up their own minds. That's the idealistic view of journalism, but that's the standard that I subscribe to, and it's very hard to defer from that.
Yes. I mean, we do subscribe to that. And nonetheless, there are people out there who believe that that we don't. And we have to battle that every day. And I think we have to battle it on our own turf, you know, on the social media and, you know, the places where these people go for news. And we have to establish our credibility by not by saying, okay, liar, liar, pants on fire. They're, you know, these are terrible people saying these things. We have to be rational and say, okay, here are the facts. The facts do not match what this politician or this person has been saying publicly. And do it methodically, do it carefully, and do it with solid sources.
And Tom, you bring up a good point. I mean, we have this set of standards that we adhere to in this industry. We're vetting stories. We have layers of editors who are looking at stories. Maybe not as many as we used to at one point,
right.
Anthony. But
right. That's true.
We still are trying to present the facts. But I wonder sometimes, especially during the 2016 election, if we didn't hurt our cause quite a bit, if we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot in terms of our own credibility. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll take that. I mean, I think, you know, in some ways we did. You know, we accepted too much without questioning it. You know, Donald Trump was a phenomenon that basically came along and surprised everybody. The Democrats, the media, the pollsters, and it was because we, as a media, were probably ignoring a whole lot of people in this country who are very frustrated, people who are not in the, you know, the mainstream, and who feel like they've been left out economically. They come from places where that have been economically distressed, and joblessness has been a problem for decades and decades, and they don't feel like anybody's listening to them. And this fellow, this Donald Trump, a billionaire developer and TV personality, comes on and says, I'm the guy who can fix it. I alone can fix this. And millions of people believed it.
I think another thing, too, is the national media covered Trump one way.
Right.
And the regional media covered him a different way.
Exactly.
Like up in Dayton, where I am from, Montgomery County went not for Donald Trump the first time in 30 years. The county went for a Republican.
Right.
And, you know, you didn't have to – all you had to do was drive around to tell that was going to happen. But you would watch some of the major networks at night and you would think the opposite.
Yes. Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think the networks were totally out of touch with reality. And, you know, part of it was the fact that, you know, during the Republican primaries, Trump was the story for them. He was the one who got people to watch the cable news networks and watch the debates. And he basically had the run of the cable news networks. He could get on any time he wanted on the Sunday news talk shows. Everybody else was ignored. All the other candidates basically, you know, they were fighting to try to get their messages through.
Sometimes they just let him call in. It seemed like
yeah,
every
they
weekend
let him call in. They didn't even make him show up in the studio or show up, you know, in a remote location, you know, where you could actually see him. I mean, he just have to phone in. And that's unheard of.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
It's interesting. I wonder if we're, to a certain extent, you know, we are being played, the media being played. There's the continuing question about what was happening with the Russian ambassadors, who met with whom and who said what with whom and who did what with whom. And then all of a sudden there's a tweet comes out that says there's X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden that becomes the story and the Russian situation becomes the back burner. Is this president that masterful to be able to do that? Are we falling into a trap? I don't know right now. If you talk to Republicans, they're going to say, look, first of all, this guy won the election. People need to accept that. And, of course, a lot of the protesters we've seen don't. The second thing, though, that he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do, maybe in a different way than he promised, whatever, but he's doing what he said he was going to do. That is what you hear from the Republican side of things right now. From the Democratic side of things, they're saying he's not telling the truth. He's not honest with the American people. A real dichotomy, again, going back to what I said, put your hands 2 feet apart, look in the middle. That's where the truth probably is, but it's very difficult. It's a moving target right now.
Tom, do you think the cable news networks that also air shows with a definite left or right agenda, do you think that they're muddying the waters for news organizations?
Well, each of those people that appears on those particular shows has a particular point of view or a particular agenda to put forward. So is it unbiased? Is it really a reflection of the American people or of a certain large number of people? Probably not. It's not going to be reflective of maybe what the people in Adams County, West Union, Ohio say. Adams County went 85% for Trump, that sort of thing. I don't think their viewpoints are being represented in those talk shows like that.
Yeah, and those people on those talk shows, the ones who are yelling at each other all the time, the partisan people, for the most part, I don't consider them journalists at all. They're not doing journalism. They're doing yelling. They're doing arguing. And there are people at the cable news networks who do good, solid reporting. And there's like two things going on at the cable news networks. There's news reporting and there's talking heads yelling at each other. And the latter is not any way connected
with
journalism.
Have they blurred the line between opinion and journalism?
Absolutely they have. Absolutely they have, because people look at them as part of this great big giant thing called the media. And the media includes a whole lot of things, including the talking heads who yell at each other.
Well, and it's in some ways it's cheaper to have a panel on TV that fills time rather than having reporters out in the middle of America to actually do the reporting. I mean, you covered Donald Trump or even Hillary Clinton's speeches, but did you get out and get into the areas,
right,
you know, in Southwest Ohio and around the state and actually talk to people about what was going on?
For the most part, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
I mean, some news organizations did, and they had a little better handle on what was going on. But, you know, the networks, the cable news networks didn't do that at all, I could tell.
One thing I want to make sure we try to do is we don't get caught in the trap of, certainly there's reporting on the president. Certainly there's reporting on his opinions. Certainly there's reporting on his policies. But at the local level, we still have the stories about local government, and we still have the stories about crime, and we still have the stories about education and business that are very important to our local communities. Do people think because we've been labeled fake news or eminent people on covering the president that we're also going to be labeled that way and we're also going to be dishonest, perhaps, about those other issues that are more important at the local level? That's a concern, and we have to be aware of that and have to prove ourselves every day that that is not the case. And it certainly, in my opinion, it is not the case.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. We have to work hard every day to counter that perception. Now, the good news there is we in the local media may be in the situation of, say, a local congressman. People hate the institution of Congress.
But
they love their congressman. They keep reelecting him by 70% of the vote. There's hardly ever a contested election for a U.S. House seat. But if you ask them, what about Congress? Do you like Congress? No, they're terrible, horrible, awful, don't do anything. So, you know, there may be a similar situation going on with the national news media and the local news media. I think that, you know, we have a better opportunity to make connections with our listeners, with our readers, with our viewers, and establish that kind of trust.
But I think one thing we do have to be careful of is if some people see Donald Trump as being successful in labeling the media this way, other people running for down ticket races may start doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah,
something negative is written about
you've already
them.
Seen people dismissing stories. It's become a way of saying that you're dismissing something. It's fake news.
Right. It gets down to the mayor level.
It's become
level,
politicized.
School level.
I think we're already starting to see that.
Yeah,
too.
You're going to start seeing that. But, you know, I think it's going to be more difficult because, you know, the people know their local news media organizations a little bit better because they're a little closer to the ground. And, you know, I think we have an opportunity to establish and grow that trust with the public, and we really need to do that.
And we will continue our conversation, fake news versus real news. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss how to tell the difference between real and fake news and the standards news organizations set to make sure stories are accurately reported are Anthony Shoemaker, news editor for the Dayton Daily News, News Center 7, and WHIO Radio, WCPO local government and politics reporter, and Cincinnati Society of Professional Journalists President Tom McKee, and WVXU politics reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tom, do you think that we're seeing more fake news these days? I mean, it's something that's been around for a long time, but is it becoming more intense? Has there been a proliferation of it?
I think you see it on the fringes. I think you see reports every now and then. I can remember reading over the summer, last summer, about a young man who, just for giggles, for grins, began a website to put out fake stories. And he got not wealthy and rich, but he did very well financially by selling ads on this thing. So he duped a lot of people in that regard. I think you're going to see more of those. Again, with this idea of fake news, somebody will capitalize on an idea and try to monetize it for their own personal benefit. And in the end, it slams what we in the professional journalist field do on a regular basis. What's interesting is, too, in private business, Donald Trump, from what you read or whatever, had no problem getting his way. He could order something that would be done, and if he didn't like something, he could fire them. Right now, he's in a position where he can say what he wants to say, but he's got to get it through a Congress, and then the Supreme Court could challenge it, or the lower courts could challenge it. It just reminds me of a line from the musical of Hamilton. Hamilton's talking to George Washington, the president at that time, and Hamilton's complaining about Congress or complaining about something, and he says, "Winning is easy, young man. Governing is harder."
Yeah, I mean, it's
true
back
in the early days, and it's true now.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like Harry Truman, what he had to say about when Dwight Eisenhower became president, a five-star general. I mean, Dwight Eisenhower was used to issuing orders and people would jump and they would fulfill them. And Harry said, "Oh, Dwight's not going to like this job because people don't. He can order all day long and it doesn't necessarily happen."
Well, and he had LBJ in the Senate to deal with, too.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Two guys who are used to getting their way.
Right. Yeah, and Anthony, what do you think in terms of, are we seeing more and more fake news these days? Is there...
I think that we are. And the thing that I actually find really challenging, at least what I'm noticing in Dayton, is with Facebook being the number one way people get their news nowadays, a lot of people don't even open the articles. You know, they read the description,
yes,
they read the headline,
right,
they look at the photo, they read the line underneath it, and then they go right into the comments and start yelling at one another. Are open, because we can see through the data how many people are actually opening the stories, and there's not a lot of that, but they get shared off of that headline, off of that description. And like we said earlier, you know, people see that stuff enough in their news feeds, they believe it just off of the headlines and stuff like that. I think Helen Thomas has died like five times now because people just keep sharing her obituary all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And let's talk to Tom in Clifton. Or Tim, excuse me. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I want to push back a little on the idea of one of your guests that a journalist should hold his hands 2 feet apart and look for the truth in the middle. Seems to me that's not a good way to practice journalism. And it tells us a lot about what's wrong with journalism right now. it's really dangerous to do that, because it allows crazy people to move you toward their position. If somebody says that the world is flat, should you look for the truth between their idea and the idea that the world is round?
And Tom, Tom, you want to respond to that, since you made that comment?
Sure, I'd be happy to. If we don't take a look at all sides of an issue, look where the facts lead us and report it that way, then what good have we done? Certainly, you take a look at both sides of an issue, find out where the facts go, and you report that story and then present that to the public, period. I think it's a very good analogy.
And Tim, thank you for the phone call. Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. Tom, so the big question is, how do you identify fake news? I mean, what we've been discussing here, it sounds like it can be tricky in a lot of cases. So what would you advise consumers of news to do?
Well, I think the first thing you do is take a look at a story and does it make sense? Does it seem to be over the top? Does it seem to be one-sided? Does it seem to have facts in it that you in your own personal life may not think are quite right? If it makes you uncomfortable, if it's a red flag, it's very possible that you have fake news. Don't confuse fake news with sometimes, and unfortunately this happens sometimes, I'm sure, of reporting that perhaps on deadline or perhaps isn't as thorough as possible given a situation that might be a mistake that's made. Don't fall for that. Those do happen. If they're caught, they're corrected as quickly as possible. But you have to just basically use your gut feeling whether it's determined fake news or not. I will say this, Society of Professional Journalists on its website, spj.org, has a code of ethics. And a code of ethics very stringent in terms of what is and isn't done from our side of things. If people wanted to take a look at that, you could read the code of ethics and use those as possible guidelines to help you determine what is right, what is wrong, what is fake, or what is true.
Yeah, oftentimes, particularly with Facebook, on a lot of these things, you can open it up and look at the actual website. And oftentimes, you will find way at the bottom of a page in very small print, this is not true. We make up these stories, or this is satirical. It's not real. And they will admit it, but you have to go looking for it. And most people don't. It's, as Anthony said earlier, they just look at it and boom, and they share it and they believe it. And if they do that enough, it becomes the truth, when in fact it's not. You just have to be a very, very careful consumer of what you read, particularly in the social media.
And Tom, I'm not sure if this applies 100% or not, but I keep thinking of the old saying, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is not true.
Well, it's the same thing. It seems to be true. If it seems too good to be true, it probably isn't. Or you should cast a little bit of aspersion on that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think I didn't quite get the quote right, so you're correcting me.
Well, I think there's another point to be made here, too. If you go back to the days of Watergate and watch the film All the President's Men or whatever, in the newspaper business at that time, and I sure hope it's still the same way, is you double source facts that you don't know to be absolutely 100% true.
Sure, absolutely.
The gentleman caller asked about, if I go out, I can find someone right now who can say the sky is blue. I could find someone who can say the sky is red. I can find someone that says the sky is green. You report all those? Well, common sense says perhaps not. You don't need to double source that to find out somebody's not quite in a grip with reality. But on a big facts, on a story like a Watergate or a story like all the things that are being investigated at the level of Washington right now, double sourcing your facts to make sure you're right. And then if you know you're right, you have the facts to back it up, then you can confidently report those stories and withstand a potential onslaught of criticism for what you've researched and written and presented to the public.
Let's talk to Joel in Cincinnati. Hi, Joel.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for the interesting discussion. I'm very interested in the topic. I enjoy Mr. Wilkinson's reports several times a week on your station. And I'd say two things. One is a comment that
Thank you.
Part of a confusion for a gentleman like myself trying to make sense of these things is that here the president of the local journalists and a good journalist like Mr. Wilkinson are expressing opinions. And I appreciate that it's y'all are talking shop. I understand that. But it gets confusing, again, like Mr. Wilkinson or Mr. McKee, someone mentioned earlier, that, yeah, that if it's a Fox News or CNN comes on and they're reporting news and then they start expressing opinions, that there's a, it's totally blurred. You know, if you just listen to any news, quote-unquote, report on these major networks, it seems like the actual utterances are more often than not opinions rather than facts. And then secondly, I'd like to ask a question. Who, also a big topic to me is I listen to the conservative radio for a minute or two at the top or bottom of the hour. Commercials come on, I switch it over to NPR, and I hear it, and it's just so funny that certain things don't get reported on either one of those types of broadcasts. So it seems to me the most powerful person is not so much how the reporter who's deciding, I guess, how to report the story, but the editor, or who is it that actually decides what stories get reported at a typical media outlet? Thanks for your help.
Anthony is an editor. I think maybe you can address that one.
Well, you know, what might make the front page of the newspaper tomorrow, for example, isn't probably going to be the same thing at the top of the TV station where I work, just because they're different audiences. And that probably holds true for the public radio station and the conservative talk radio station that you're listening to, different audiences. So they'll lead with different stories, have different stories on. And they might even cover the same story in different ways, which also can add to the confusion to the public, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, we are much different in terms of our news judgment than, say, a commercial radio station. It's just a whole different matter. Now, the one thing Joel was talking about that, you know, when we talk about expressing opinions, what we've been discussing here is more or less, as you say, shop talk. You know, it's about journalism. And if we don't talk about that and talk about how we do our jobs and question how we do our jobs each and every day, then we're not doing our jobs. I mean, that is part of being a journalist.
You know, and hopefully in talking about this and people hearing this, we can help them be better consumers of news.
Sure.
Yeah. Tom, did you want to weigh in?
Well, in a newsroom of a television nature, we have a news director, assistant news director, executive producers for each of the show or each of the day parts, if you will.
You've got a lot of layers there.
For each particular show, sure. So there's a lot of vetting that goes on. I would say the final call is made by the news director or the assistant director or the executive producers, but there is a discussion about what's important perhaps to the audience that day, what's important in our viewpoint. And you also have to realize that TV is a business. Radio is a business, newspapers are a business, and you only have limited resources in what you can cover on a given day. So yes, you have to make choices, and sometimes those choices are very difficult to make given what's going on in the world. But you have to align your staff with your time frame that you're given to report on, and then with the stories that are presented to you on your daily schedule or your daily sched.
Yeah, we had a call from Dave who was wondering, why is it that so many people believe in fake news? That's obviously a fake. What does that say about us? It's a good question. I mean, why do we fall for this so easily?
I don't know. I think in some cases what they see, like say on social media, it fits into their own personal worldview of things. And kind of confirms what they already suspected was the truth. And now somebody's telling them, you know, in print that, yes, you're right. And
they're saying what you were thinking. So,
right,
okay.
Exactly. And even though, you know, it could be just made up stuff that has no credence.
Well, and now with social media and even in some cases with cable news, you can follow the news you most agree with,
and
you can end up living in a bubble on both sides.
That's right.
Hey, Tom, to wrap this up, tell us about the SPJ event that's coming up on March 23rd.
March 23rd, Voice of America Park, Tylersville Road, Westchester, the Voice of America Museum. Their board has graciously extended an invitation to conduct a panel discussion on this very topic, truth matters, fake news matters, those types of things to discern between the two. 7 to 8:30, a panel discussion. I'll be moderating. I know that Howard and Anthony are on there, along with Hagit Lamour, who used to work at WCPO. WXIX is now a professor of electronic journalism at the University of Cincinnati. So that's going to be a very interesting panel to put together that particular night. Did I forget somebody on the panel? I hope not.
I don't think so.
Did he get them all, Howard and Anthony?
That's right. Yeah.
And again, Tom, is it open to the public or?
That I believe it is. I know I've seen a press release put out on it, so you can always check the Voice of America Museum's website for more details on that.
Yeah, you can find a link to more information about the event at WVXU.org. Tom, Anthony, and Howard, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
This was great.
You're quite welcome.
Anthony Shoemaker, who's the news editor for the Dayton Daily News, News Center 7 and WHIO Radio, WCPO local government and politics reporter, and Cincinnati Society of Professional Journalists president, Tom McKee, and WVXU politics reporter, Howard Wilkinson. Coming up, we'll talk about race in America with author and Associated Press reporter, Jesse Holland. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.